Well, good morning. It's nice to be back with you at Hebron. Nice to see some well-kent faces, but also lots of faces I don't know, which is a good sign. It's a sign of growth, so it's nice to be here with you today. Easter has just passed, and we move on quickly from Easter. And maybe that's a shame because there's so much we can learn from Easter. So I've entitled this message, Easter Light and the Challenge to Become God's Agents of Renewal. So we're just going to read a few verses in relation to this passage, to this subject today. And the first reading is from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3. And it should come up on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And in a verse from John 8:12, which is well known, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." And then 2 Corinthians 4, 6. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's just pray. Lord, we pray that you will bless your word to our hearts and to our lives today, Lord. We pray for your Spirit's power to be here to help us and to encourage us and exhort us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now today, we live in a world where there is an increasing number of activists who want to bring renewal to the planet. And I'm not just talking about ecological renewal. We hear a lot today about new politics and a fresh vision for a transformed social democracy of greater equality and enhanced human dignity leading to human flourishing. And there is a growing restlessness for radical change. And young people in particular are increasingly becoming activists, seeking to be agents of political and social and ecological change. Now, to work for change and transformation across the political, social, and ecological spectrum is a noble enterprise. And many people are doing that with a genuine heart. And it made me think about our own position as believers as to how much we actually care about the bigger picture in our world right now and whether we would see ourselves as agents for renewal. And what I want to look at today is the story of renewal from a biblical perspective and how the Easter story is absolutely pivotal to the renewal of humanity and indeed of creation itself. And as Arsene Wenger once said, "Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive." So let's pick up the bigger biblical renewal story from its genesis. Now, I don't know about you, but the beginning of creation has always fascinated me. And I want you to imagine yourself inside Doctor Who's TARDIS being transported back to the beginning of creation and looking out on planet Earth before it was given form or life. I mean, what a sight to behold. The planet, we are told, was formless and void, an empty waste with a darkness upon the face of the very great deep. Now these words, formless, empty waste, deep darkness, kind of conjures up a pretty inhospitable place. And the Hebrew word that's used here is tohu wabohu. It's a description of chaos and disorder. So if you're having a chaotic day at work and somebody asks you how your day going, you can tell them you're having a tohu wabohu kind of day. They may well go, well, boo-hoo to you. But then we read that God's Spirit is hovering like a brooding bird over the chaos in waste places and deep darkness. And this hovering is the hovering of expectation. You get the feeling from your TARDIS that you've just arrived at the right time. Something is about to happen. The situation of formlessness and chaos and deep darkness is going to change. And sure enough, into the chaos and waste places, in deep darkness, God speaks with divine authority, let there be light. And suddenly, there was an invasion of light. I mean, this is breathtaking stuff. God spoke, and it was done. And suddenly, creation begins to take form. Light is eclipsed. Light eclipses darkness, and chaos begins to yield to order. Eventually, 6 days on, the empty places of earth are filled with abundant life and human flourishing. And it's all good. It's all good. In fact, God pronounces his work on the sixth day of creation very good. Now, from this first text in the Bible, we learn that God's agent of renewal is his Spirit and his Word. And by the power of his Spirit and his Word, he addressed the chaos and the darkness and of the primordial earth and brings light and transformation and order and beauty and abundance. And the difference between before God spoke, let there be light, and the sixth day of creation is astonishing. And the catalyst for this transformation from chaos to pulsating planet is the invasion of God's light springing fresh from the power of his Word and Spirit. So the agent for renewal here is God's Spirit and God's Word in God's light. Now the climax of all God's creatorial works was the creation of human beings. Both Adam and Eve were made in God's image. Their vocation was to worship God and image God's rule out into the world, which included being good stewards of God's creation. They walked in the light of God's countenance, and to walk in God's light was their true habitat. It was their home. It was the place where they belonged. Sadly, however, this glorious ideal did not last, and as we know, there came a day when Adam and Eve listened to the voice of darkness and deception and rebelled against God. And as a result, their fellowship with God was broken and they were expulsed from paradise. And living east of Eden in their fallenness and shame, history was now on a trajectory not towards greater renewal and order, but back to darkness and chaos and disorder. Now, it's interesting, on the first day of creation, God invaded the world with light, and on the second day, he separated the waters from above from the waters below. And this separation was a way of bringing further order to the created world. But by the time we get to Noah, God light has greatly diminished. And fallen humanity is now so corrupt, violent, and rebellious, we find the waters that God separated in day two of creation are coming together again in a global flood. And why? Well, because of man's evil and moral corruption, creation was reverting back to primordial chaos. But amidst the collapsing cosmos, there is an exception. A small microcosmos in the shape of Noah's Ark, containing plant life, animal life, bird life, and human life. And while the inhabitants of the earth experienced full judgment of God, the ark acted as an agent of renewal, a refuge, transferring the life of the old world to the new creation, that the earth might be purged and renewed once more. So Noah and the ark act as an agent of renewal. Now, after the flood, humankind sadly continued in idolatry, in rebellion, in spiritual darkness. And as a result, the threat to return to darkness and chaos was never far away. But God called forth a new agent of renewal, the children of Israel. They were called to be God's chosen possession and a light to the Gentiles. And under the mercy of God, Israel experienced God's redemption from slavery, his guiding covenantal presence in the desert, and his blessing and rich inheritance in the promised land. God even localized his presence, firstly in the tabernacle, and then in the temple in Jerusalem. Yet, despite all these blessings, Israel found themselves constantly moving away from God. Rather than embracing the light themselves and being God's light to the nations, they found themselves increasingly enslaved to idols and dark powers. And the more they rejected the one who holds all things together by his power, the more their lives seemed to be falling apart. And that's something that we need to think a lot about today, as there has been a definite decision to reject our Christianity, is that as we reject the one who holds all things together, we find that things are falling apart. We are moving back to disorder and chaos, yeah? And by the time we get to Jeremiah, the situation for Israel was grim. And this is what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty. There's that word again. Tohu wa bohu. Things are returning to chaos. And at the heavens, and the light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. Now, the imagery here, once more, depicts the breakdown of the cosmic order. And as I mentioned, because of Israel's idolatry and rebellion, things are reverting back to chaos and darkness. Society is in meltdown, and creation is under threat because they have abandoned God. In fact, things got so corrupt and idolatrous, God removed himself from the temple in Jerusalem, where he had localized his presence. And devoid of God's light, Israel is now plunged into darkness and judgment, and they are carted off to Babylon in exile. And as Adam and Eve found themselves expulsed from Eden and removed from God's presence because of their rebellion, the nation of Israel now finds itself expulsed from the promised land and alienated from God's presence because of their rebellion. And as exiles in Babylon, they began to think through the consequences of their sins as they mourned the loss of their inheritance and temple, and more particularly, the glorious presence of God that no longer shone favorably upon them. These were dark days. And there are similarities between that and what's happening to us right now. As we reject our Christian heritage, we will find ourselves in that place of darkness and disorder. It's an outcome. It's a consequence of turning away from God. However, 70 years later, by the grace of God, the exiles return home to Jerusalem, and they're energized by a fresh passion for their Lord and a longing for the return of God's glory, and they rebuild the temple. And all the faithful knew that the return of the light of God's presence among them was key to renewal. And this is what they prayed for, and this is what they longed for, but it was that return didn't happen really for another 400 years. Now, the glory of God did return, but it was not the way the people expected. They expected God's presence to return in power to the temple, but instead, God returned embodied in Jesus. Jesus was God's temple in person. Now, Jesus' coming was like an invasion of light into a dark world. And it's not by chance that the main subject of Christmas cards is light. Now, as soon as Jesus is born, Herod and the dark forces of chaos and disorder start working overtime to kill him off. And by the time Christ is fully engaged in public ministry and proclaiming, "I am the light of the world," all the forces of chaos and darkness and anti-creation are accumulating to destroy him. And finally, it comes to a head on Passover week in Jerusalem. Jesus is sentenced to death by crucifixion. And on the cross, all the powers of evil sought to engulf the Son of God. All the dark forces of chaos, every wasteful spirit and alien force were mustered that day to try and kill off the light of the world and sink the earth back into primordial chaos and deep darkness forever. As Christ bowed his head on the cross, the dark powers thought they had won. It was like all the prophecies of hope through the ages concerning the coming of God's light, in God's kingdom, in God's renewed creation, all looked like they'd been brought to nothing. The one who claimed to be the light of the world and God's agent of renewal had just been snuffed out like a candle. But the darkness celebration party that started on Good Friday was massively premature. For on the third day, Christ rose victoriously from the dead, conquering over the forces of darkness and chaos, offering forgiveness and new life to all who call upon his name. And for through the death and the resurrection, Christ has triumphed over the dark powers and the anti-creation forces. He has stripped them of their borrowed robes and their hollowed crowns, and he's marched them naked through the streets. Christ's victory is the victory. In every attempt now to engulf the new order and return the world to chaos will fail. However crazy In toho wa buhu, our world may be at times, ultimately, through Christ's victory, nothing can stop the advance of the new creation. Christ has triumphed. You know, the world today, you hear people say a lot, you know, the world's just going on the same way as it's always gone on. No, it hasn't. Something significant happened 2,000 years ago that has changed this world forever. Christ inaugurated the new creation through his resurrection. And it doesn't matter how much chaos there is in this world. Nothing can stop the advance of the new creation. And we should say hallelujah. And here's something to consider. On the sixth day of the week of the original creation, God finished his creatorial works. And on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, he rested. Now, it's interesting. Jesus died on the sixth day of the week. On the sixth day of the week, hanging on the cross, Christ bore in his body the sin, the shame, the disorder, the chaos of a broken humanity, and he brought it to judgment and death. And with redemption's work complete, Christ cried from the cross, "Tetelestai, finished, finished." And God, having surveyed Christ's finished work in the cross, saw that it was good. And perhaps this is the main reason why we call Easter Friday Good Friday. It's because of the good work that Christ achieved on the cross. And then on the Sabbath day, Christ was laid in the tomb, the day of rest. The big question is, of course, is there going to be a new day? Is there going to be the first day of a new week? For Christ, for humanity, for creation. Well, before the sun has time to cast its first rays of morning light, the light of the world was already up, blazing the trail of new creation's day. Easter Sunday is not just the first day of the new week, it's the first day of the new age. For through the resurrection, the age to come has broken into the present age with power. The dark powers have been defeated and stripped of their rule, and forgiveness and renewal are now possible for God's fallen image bearers. Through repentance and faith, people like you and me can be forgiven and renewed and share in the victory of Jesus Christ. That is what Christianity is all about. We share in Christ's victory. Anyone who is in Christ, what? Oh, let me say it a bit louder. Anyone who is in Christ? New creation. The new creation has broken in to the present age. Christ's victory is the victory, and we celebrate that. So Christ appears, blazing the trail of new creation. Adam was found in a garden, who was the image bearer for the first creation. Christ appears in a garden on the day of resurrection, the second Adam, now blazing the new creation. And of course, to be renewed image bearers is a wonderful thing. And that's what happened to Paul. Paul was a Christ hater, a violent being, breathing out slaughterings against the early church. He was still in a place of blindness and darkness. His life was a bit toho wa buhu, to be honest. But on the Damascus Road, he was knocked to the ground by a blinding light from heaven, within which Paul saw the risen Jesus in all his glory. And Paul recognized that Jesus is indeed Lord, the true light of the world. And through this personal encounter with the resurrected and ascended Lord, Paul's life was utterly transformed. The light that blinded Paul on the Damascus Road was like the light at the beginning of creation. It's God's Spirit and light inaugurated the first creation over that which was formless and chaotic and dark. So the light of Jesus inaugurated the new creation in Paul's being that was chaotic, Christ-hating and angry. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And this is how Paul sums it up beautifully. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a great verse that is. Anyone who is in Christ, Paul says, new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And living within that new creation, Paul became an agent of renewal. Paul, an agent of renewal, brought the gospel to Asia and then to Europe. You see, the resurrection light is not a strange alien force that has invaded our planet and is trying to mold us into a way of life it doesn't fit. Not at all. Originally, we were made in the image of God. And as we have already mentioned, Adam and Eve, before the fall, they walked in the light of God's presence. That was their habitat. That was where they belonged. And we need to get this. The real invading alien force into God's creation is the power of darkness and the forces of chaos and disorder seducing us away from being molded and renewed in the image of God. There are many forms of tohu wabohu in our death-dealing culture right now, and all of them encourage lifestyles that are deeply slaving and dehumanizing. But Christ wants us to celebrate his Easter triumph over darkness. He wants to impart his resurrection life to you and me so that we too can be renewed image bearers. And it doesn't matter how dehumanized our lives have become, or how spiritually dark our path has been, or how much we would describe our lives as waste places, when God's Spirit hovers over the chaos and darkness and says with authority, let there be light, then there is light. There is change. There is renewal. And that's a wonderful thing. And following his resurrection, Jesus breathed his Spirit on his disciples and said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And Christ sent his followers out into the world as agents of spiritual renewal. And God has breathed his breath into you and I. We have received his Spirit. Why have we received his Spirit? That we might be new creations and that we too might be agents of God's renewal. That's what you and I are called to be, agents of God's renewal. And that means in the home, agents of renewal, in the hospital, in the shop, in the office, in the factory, in the school, in the oil rig, in the community, wherever we are God's renewed image bearers. And we are called to be witnesses to Christ's triumph, announcing that triumph with our lips, while at the same time embodying the new creation in our lives. This is our mission that we're called to, and we must avoid two pitfalls. Number one is that of defeatism. And by that I mean claiming too little. You know, the sort of thing that we hear a lot of, there's a lot of defeatism in the church today. Oh, the world's a terrible place. Oh, it's just getting worse, and it's, oh, there's no hope. There's really no hope. And we kind of, you get that spirit of defeatism that kind of, in a sense, wants to withdraw from society in believing that Christianity right now cannot have a big impact. And that's a great danger. You know, we're sometimes ashamed to speak up for the Lord. We leave it to people like Jordan Peterson and Douglas Murray and Russell Brand to take up the wonders of Christianity. You know, even Richard Dawkins, believe it or not, this last week described himself on the radio as a cultural Christian. And he actually said that the Christian ethos, he was at home with the Christian ethos. He's not a believer at all, as you all know. But he was recognizing what Christianity has brought to our nation that we are in danger of losing right now. And we need to overcome this situation of defeatism, where we are withdrawn and we're scared to speak up. It's Christianity that changed the West. We need to be much more passionate and much more excited about the power of the risen Christ for our nation right now. The church is losing a lot of people that have been brought up in the church, while people that have nothing to do with the church are being pointed to the Bible, like people like Peterson and Douglas Murray and so on. There's a whole new search out there, young folks that are seeking the faith that don't know anything about it. So let's not have a spirit of defeatism. Now, the opposite of that is triumphalism. Triumphalism is when we claim too much. Jesus, through your Easter victory, we believe you're king over the cosmos, so we claim Aberdeen as your kingdom possession right now in Jesus' name. That is triumphalism. We must avoid both of these extremes. Rather, we must seek to go forward as embodiments of new creation with much prayer and humility, relying on the power of Christ to do his mysterious work of renewal. You know, we are called to testify and speak truth to power in the public arena and pray for renewal in politics, in economics, in ecology, in education, in the arts, and so on, whilst being realistic that there remains a hostility towards the new creation and an enslavement to the powers of the present age. But let's not diminish the power and triumph of Christ's resurrection. For these are not just the last days of the present age. You hear a lot of people talking about, oh, it's the last of the last days. That is maybe true, but let me tell you this. It's also the first days of the new creation. Isn't that right? It's the first days of the new creation. Anyone who is in Christ, new creation. We're experiencing that creation now. So it's the first days of the new creation. You know, we can be so negative about all this. We always think, oh, it's the last days, the last days. Well, turn that on its head. It's the first days of the new creation, and God has reached us in our lives. Isn't that a wonderful thing to celebrate and to tell the world that it's true, that Jesus can renew you at your foundations, and you can be changed, and you can become a renewed image bearer if you put your faith in Christ and his triumph. You can be set free from the powers of darkness that hold this world enslaved. And if our lives are returning to disorder, then we need to ask, which areas of our life is Christ not reigning in? Because the dark powers will start to take over your life again if we do not serve Christ. We have an option. Because we are believers, we don't have to serve the dark powers. We can serve Christ and overcome the dark powers through his resurrection. And so if we find ourselves being enslaved and that life is getting chaotic and we are slipping into disorder, we need to ask why these things are happening. Maybe it's because Christ does not reign in every area of our lives. So as we finish today, let's go forward to be agents of renewal. Let's implement Christ's victory wherever we can as we anticipate the fullness of new creation. For one day Christ will return and all things will be made new. And until then, let's seek to live out our true identity as being renewed image bearers, faithfully worshipping the Lord, imaging God's rule in our own lives, and imaging that rule out to the world. So, God, by His Spirit and Word, has addressed the primordial powers of darkness and chaos and disorder, bringing light and transformation. God, through the Easter triumph of Christ's cross and resurrection, has triumphed over the powers of darkness and chaos and inaugurated the new creation. And God, by His Spirit and Word, can address the chaos and darkness in our own lives and bring light and transformation in us so that we can share in the life of the new creation and become agents of renewal ourselves. So in the midst of Scotland's return to Toho, Wabuhu, let there be light. Lord Jesus, let there be light. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank You for that moment in history when all evil was concentrated in one spot at Calvary, where sins were condemned in the flesh of Jesus and the dark powers were defeated and stripped of their power, where weak, rebellious humans were redeemed from sin slavery and gifted back their true vocation of being worshippers of God and stewards of the earth. Lord, we celebrate Your victory today, Your invasion of light into our world and into our beings, Your renewal program within us put into effect by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to live out Your calling in our lives, to bear Your image and mirror Your life back to You and out into the wider world. Lord, make us agents of renewal wherever we are this week. May the powers be reminded that in this Easter season, they are defeated. May Your glorious kingdom of light come among us in power as we celebrate with great joy Your Easter triumph and anticipate the fullness of new creation. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.